Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Sounds like you're out in a windstorm.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm by the water.
Oh, nice. So I was, before I just a couple minutes, was also thanking you, along with putting this really cool compilation about together that we're going to talk about, thanking you for setting up the after party from Music Mash on Saturday. That was such a fun event.
It was a good time. Los Swimmers were a lot of fun. They played for 2 hours, which was pretty mind-blowing. And, you know, it was a good turnout. We had a really good time.
And Music Mash itself was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love playing records outside. You know, I had the early bird shift, so I was trying to play some kind of upbeat cumbia and chicha and stuff, and I, you know, was trying to keep it lively.
So I've been wanting to talk to you for a little while about this new compilation that you've produced, Puro Teta Shanti, which is just... I love the music, and I was saying at the beginning of the show that I know that you, the first time that you ever came down and sort of guest hosted with me, you brought a lot of similar music to this to the radio station. And then I was talking also about how we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, but then I sort of caught myself in a little bit of a faux pas, because this is sort of before Hispanic Heritage. Why don't you talk about this whole, like, what it is? What is it?
You know, so it's kind of, you're not necessarily wrong, you know. Like a lot of things in Peru and in South America in general, it's complicated. In that, at this point, you know, Puro Taita Shanti, you know, I kind of make a statement like that. That means, like, pure Taita Shanti. That's like, I make that statement kind of knowing I should catch a little bit of flack for it, and also kind of saying it earnestly. And so it is Andean music. And it's definitely, you know, pre-Hispanic, you know, but at the same time, it clearly has European influence, cadences, introductions. You know, the pentatonic scale is not necessarily European, but the, you know, the cadences and all those kind of things clearly come from those kind of, you know, European music. So you're not wrong in saying that. And so, yes, you can tie it in for sure with the Hispanic Heritage Month, you know.
So there's quite a fascinating background to this music, and you mm-hmm. your family is from this region. Why don't you talk a little bit about how you came to put this whole collection together?
Sure, you know, so I have a lot of family in Lima, which is the capital, but also my grandmother's side traces back to the mountain, specifically to the Mantaro Valley, and specifically to Huancavelica and a small town called Talcabamba. And so, you know, since I don't know, 20 years or something, I started getting probably since my late teens or something, getting more and more interested in wanting to understand what it meant to be Peruvian. And, you know, my father is from Callao and was born there, but, you know, came to the United States before I was born. I was born here. So I wanted to reconnect, and doing so, that means finding music and all these kind of things. So over the time, I became interested, of course, in psychedelic and punk and all those kind of things, and thrash. But also, you know, eventually I became, you know, interested in cumbia and huayno, and which are not similar, but they are definitely, you know, they're friends at the family picnic, you know. And so I kind of was really listening to that kind of stuff and digging those kind of records, and came across a certain song style called, you know, that a lot of people called Santiago, or also in Quechua, they called it Taita Shanti. And every time I kind of found this style of song on a record, I would buy it, and, you know, I enjoyed it. At one point, I even bought a record that was from the area that my family was from, and I kind of joked around that the record cover had a, looked like a person from somebody in my family, you know. And then as we came to find out, that was my aunt on the cover, and I had other aunts on the cover, and, you know, it kind of opened all these doors to, you know, I was already interested in the music. I was already obsessed and kind of buying these records. And, you know, when I was visiting in Peru, I would dig for them. And then, of course, you could buy things on eBay if you know what to look for. But once I kind of started to see, like, familial connections and history, and, you know, my favorite tias on the front of a record cover, it kind of became apparent to me that I needed to do more than just dig. And I was already kind of thinking about a mixtape, and then the mixtape just quickly became an LP. But that LP took about 7 years for me to release, because I had
to do a tremendous amount of research, and I wanted to do it right, and I wanted to license songs, and, you know. So it was a pretty long road, and I even gave up for a minute and then kind of got back into it and then finished it.
Yeah, I heard you tell an interesting story about how you're talking about the and it's a similar photograph that's on the cover of your compilation, but you'd found this another compilation of the music someplace, and you showed your father and said, "Oh, don't these people look like family members?" And he said, "Yes, they are your family."
Yeah, that's the record that I'm thinking of. It's specifically by a certain artist. Duo Las Perlas de Huancavelica, you know, the duo of pearls of Huancavelica. And I showed that to him, and he was like, "No, that is, you know, my sister." So, and he had kind of, you know, so I had confirmed this connection. And then he ended up having photographs that they had sent him in the 60s, like in the late 60s, from that same photo session, which eventually ended up being like a party that the singer had, but didn't tell anybody. It was a photo shoot. It invited my aunts because she was friends with the family. You know, it's pretty amazing. You know, and when you go to that kind of part of Peru, when you go to the Mantaro Valley or Huancavelica, you start to realize how the world can be pretty small. You know.
And you're saying party, and it sounds like all this music sounds like music of celebration. It's just
I'm leaving out an important factor. So the music itself is Andean by root, you know, and it has all the, you know, kind of Spanish or European cadences, but it's basically like a fertility or harvest or, you know, kind of music. You know, it's very pagan. It's, you know, four on the floor, drum beat, boom, 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 boom. You know, one chord. And the, you know, early on, Santiago, or as we like to call it, Taita Shanti, the, you know, Andy's name for it, it's really about paying homage to, you know, the god of the rains and the god of the hills and livestock, so that the next year your crops will be good, so that you'll have the golden calf. And, you know, you celebrate this music on July the 24th, the 25th, which is, you know, basically the end of the dry season, you know, so... You know, the end of the season, so it gets kind of winter over there in the mountains or whatever. So it ends up being, you know, music that at some point kind of served this purpose of being, you know, agricultural and also, you know, kind of the way that, you know, paying homage. You need your crops to succeed or you're not going to survive in the mountains. But over the course of years, the music, of course, like a lot of music, it starts to adapt these kind of party aspects, you know, getting drunk or, you know, having bad luck or whatever. And so, you know, a singer, you know, Carmela Morales, the woman who is also featured on the front cover of my record, she was having this party, you know, on the 24th or 25th of July in 1968, and invited my family to go, my tia, my uncle, my tio, and they went. And the photos that were not used for the record cover, for the record that she put out, Duo Las Perlas de Huancavelica, were kind of given to the people in the photo shoot. You know, that's how my aunt ended up with all these extra photos from that record cover photo shoot.
And that is such a cool story. And I know you've traveled and gone to those harvest celebrations, correct?
I have, yeah. With my partner in crime, Gabriela. We went maybe, I think, in 2012, and we went there with the purpose of, you know, trying to find a party and rage and see if we could figure it out. And when we got to Huancayo, which is kind of the bigger city that you go to in the Mantaro Valley in that area, you know, we kind of, upon arriving, you know, we said to my cousins and everybody, you know, "Are we going to be able to find, you know, Taita Shanti?" And they were kind of laughing, like, "What are you talking about?" But as we were there for a few weeks, we realized that, you know, you not only are you going to find it, you can't escape it. You know, in the month of July, in the Mantaro Valley is overtaken by this music. You hear it, you know, in the first week, you hear it every once in a while. By the third week, you know, the closer you get to July 24th, it's like blaring out of every car, every restaurant, every home, on every sidewalk, bands in the street. You know, it's a pretty overwhelming thing, you know, so it's moved from the mountainside to the city, you know what I mean? But of course, the city and the mountains.
And
so, yeah, we were there, and it was amazing.
And is this music Would you find similar music in other locations, or is this just really hyper local sorts of?
So yes and no. So in some ways it's hyper local, but there's signifiers. So for example, other regions of Peru have a style of music that's similar that they call like costumbrista or tinyaculi. Some places call it, you know, rodeo, like rodeo. So, you know, the four on the floor is not that, you know, uncommon because it's so simple. Maybe you can even hear it sometimes in, you know, some Native American music, you know. But that said, when you listen to this music, there are certain things that let you know it's very, you know, very specific location. So whenever you hear the bugle-style sound, that tells you it's from Huancavelica, because that bugle is a certain kind of horn only made from a tree trunk that grows in that area. So, you know, it's usually called corneta or yungur. And when you hear yungur, you know you're in Huancavelica, because it doesn't exist in other spots, or at least it's not, you know, it's not known for it, you know.
Oh, that's very, very interesting. You're listening to listener-supported WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM. I'm Valerie Richardson. I'm speaking with Rick Amonte, also known as Shockey Presents, who does music here at WPKN on the third and fifth Wednesday evenings from 8 to 11 p.m., brings you music from all over the world. He's one of these crazy record people who just goes all over the world and finds lots of very interesting music. And we're talking today about a compilation that he put together that some music of his own background, his own ancestral roots, Puro Tecta Shanti. And so you sort of briefly mentioned that you wanted to make sure you did this right. You wanted to make sure that any proceeds were shared with the artists. So you went looking for the artists, and what are some of the stories of the different musicians who are on here, who you contacted and who you found?
Some of them are kind of pretty basic, you know. So with maybe six of the tracks, they were on major labels, and those major labels were gobbled up by publishing companies. So for a few, like six of the songs were straight up owned by a publishing company that is known in Peru that would like literally knock on my door if I didn't pay them, you know, and they're known for that, and they're very, and good for them because they own the rights to that stuff. So they were easy to find. Other people, it was a little bit more like looking on YouTube, looking on Facebook, because many of these artists are still alive. Some of them still perform. So, you know, Yolanda de Caruamayo, I mean, she has, you know, videos on YouTube, so you can call her to contract her for a gig. You know, I'm a promoter, you know, but, you know, you could call her for a gig. So I called her on the phone, and some people were super reluctant, not her, but some people were super reluctant, kind of suspicious of somebody calling from the United States and saying, hey, I want to use a song, you know, and I'd have to work on some people more than others. But eventually what ends up happening is I won a few people over by emailing them photographs of me holding their record, like the record of the song that I want to reissue. And once you could kind of see me and see a picture of me, I think, and then I would call them on Skype phone, you know, and say, hey, you know, I called you about that compilation. This is a song. And, you know, people started to react a lot like that. But I have a nice one where I kind of had to contact the son of the Peregrinos de la Menta, which is like, I think, the second song on the compilation. And because, you know, his parents are very old, they were the leaders of the band. And I contacted him, and he was very suspicious, of course, rightfully, and he should be, yeah. And then I kind of, you know, I sent him a photo and all these things. And then he started to get really excited, you know, because he started to realize, you know, there's this guy in New Haven, Connecticut that, you know, has Peruvian family that is trying to reissue a song that his parents recorded in, you know, 1972 or something. You know, so then the reaction starts to go the other way, and now he's sending me, you know, three songs I didn't ask for. You know, now I'm getting photographs of, you know, the family, what they're doing today. I'm getting photographs of, you know, I'm getting more information than I can even print in a compilation liner note, you know, and I even use some of the pictures they sent me. But, you know, the cool thing for me now is I'm getting back in touch with these people, and I'm saying, hey, the compilation, and I'm going in October to Peru, and I'm bringing the comp with me, and I'm handing out the copies to the artists that are on the compilations, the one that I'm in contact with. And this artist particular, you know, his son, Freddie, said to me, well, you know, you have to come over for dinner, and my mother is going to sing the song for you.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And it's like, you know, for me, that, you know, reading that kind of message, you know, when the first round was pretty suspicious, you know, it's a really nice, you know, turn of events, you know, and I get overwhelmed because, you know, it is a big pride for me, and you know, I'm going to see, you know, one of my tias that's on the cover of the record. I'm going to see her in Tacna. She lives with my grandmother, and, you know, I'm going to hand her copy. You know, she's now been on more record covers than I've been, you know. And, you know, but anyway, yeah, so I'm excited, and I'm going to get to, you know, a few people actually have invited me over for dinner, so it's pretty exciting. And I'm still on the look for, you know, there's two people that I think are trying not to be found, you know, and I'll find them and give them some money.
So a lot of this music was originally recorded anywhere from the 70s to the 90s or
later? Yes, it spanned late 60s to early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, once I found the artists, you know, the existing labels or whatever on the rights, I would check them up, get them interested, and then, of course, send them some money, you know, Western Union the money. And then once people get that, they know I'm for real, and then it changes a little bit. And it's not $1 million, of course, you know, but I mean, imagine, you know, you're an artist and you're working super hard, and somebody calls you up from a place you never heard of, except that, you know, it's in the States, and they say, hey, I'm going to pay you some money for a song you recorded in 1983. Tell me all the cool things you've done since then, because I'm going to write all this information about you so people know how cool you are. You know, I mean, I think there's a moment where people kind of go, oh, yeah, this is cool. This guy's cool, you know?
Well, it is really cool. It's become some of my go-to music for when I need a little emotional boost. So it's sort of like,
sure.
It's sort
well,
like
the music itself is so upbeat.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like I do reggae the same thing. You go right there, and it's so primal, and you got that beat, and you got the cows, and you got the horns. Even when there are horns, they're almost like a rhythm instrument themselves. They're barely playing any notes. And there's one song that has a violin. I think that one's sort of almost an anomaly.
It's anomaly maybe for the comp, but it's definitely, you know, in the comp I tried to be as thorough as I could be, but also, you know, it's definitely like reads like a mixtape from Shaki, you know, and it reads like a reflection of the experience that me and everyone had when we were down there. Like, I stand by it. Like, anybody who listens to this comp, if they go to, you know, Montauk Valley, July 2020, they're going to pretty much hear that and the newest band that's out, you know, and it's really definitely kind of authentic, but it's also like the violin, like, there's a whole style that's called like chakatan that has violin, and it's almost more done than the horns, you know, so there's kind of a different facet to it, but I try to just kind of include a little bit of everything, you know, but if I ever did a follow-up, I think I would for this particular compilation, I would make it more of a modern one, because some of these groups still exist, but now they have like chronic drums, and now they play with bass guitar and stuff like that, so I think it'd be fun if I could, you know, get the resources when they do a follow-up EP and have like maybe 6 tracks from the last 3 years or something, you know, just so people can hear where it's gone, yeah. We'll see, though.
and what is the primary language that they're using?
So there's two languages. You know, the obvious is Spanish, and most of us can kind of pick that out. But the one that is different is Quechua, and that's the one that is, I mean, when you hear it, it just sounds so beautiful, and it really doesn't have a lot of, there's not really a lot of words that sound like Quechua. It doesn't sound like a lot of language. Like some maybe sort of Native American or something, but you know, I'm trying to think of Quechua words that the common public know that they don't know. So Puma is a Quechua word, if you can believe it. That's not a Spanish word.
Interesting. Puma.
Yeah, Puma. You know, so Cuandor is actually from Cuandor, which is Quechua. And beyond that, Quechua sounds really different. You know, Spanish, you know, Como estas usted. Is, you know, hi, how are you? If you wanted to say the same thing in Quechua, you know, como está usted in Quechua is, y mañana ya te quedas tranqui. You know, so it's very different sounding, and it kind of lends itself to some of the music.
Very, very interesting. Well, I'm fascinated by this this compilation. Like I said, it's become, I enjoy playing it. Just, it's just such great music. And, sort of circling back to where we started, where I was sort of teasing out the differences between this being from Peru, but not really part of Hispanic heritage, sort of pre-Hispanic heritage. Is there an element this is a celebration of this culture. This is a celebration of the culture that was existing before European culture came to the region.
Absolutely. But, you know, when the Spanish showed up, it's super complicated. There's a book called Yellow Fiesta that my cousin gave me that really kind of helped me understand this nuance. That's sort of the nuance, and maybe not really, but there's a lot of things that, like, the Spanish pretty much were just like, they wiped it out. But there were so many things that the Incas had in place, whether it was like technologies or agriculture methods, or just like food and parties and stuff like that. But the Spanish were kind of like, they couldn't stamp them out, and they kind of didn't want to. Like, they did and they didn't. It was like kind of like a bittersweet kind of thing. So Tecnishanti kind of survives the Inca age because it's a great party, and it also kind of dumbly, blindly, or who knows why, you know, falls on the same day that in Spain, the patron saint of Spain, you know, St. John, you know, the Apostle, or also in Santiago, you know, which is kind of where that name gets taken from. The Spanish just say, we're going to take the name of our Spanish holiday and turn it onto your party, and now it's our party too, or now it's your party, you know, whatever, but, you know, it kind of works and it doesn't, because in the end, they just call it Great Santi, you know. So which basically means Father Santiago. It's just kind of twisted in there, but it's so connected. And you know, like there's a few things. Like I've been told, even like the sound of your horn or Canada. Like when you read a book like Yellow Fiesta, it kind of explains to you how, like, for indigenous people, that's like the sound of the land, and for like the Spaniards, it was like it's like this infuriating infidel sound of like ignorance and savage, and like I just want them to shut up. But at the same time, you have this massive party that is just—it's a party, you know. So it's so complex, but yeah, it definitely has all of the complexities of Latin American culture with paganism and Catholicism sitting side by side, you know.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad we got a chance to do this.
And, yes, sorry if it took a minute to catch me.
That's okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, well, thanks. And I'm going to play a little of the music going out. And Rick Amonte, Shockey presents. You'll be on the third. Will you be here in October? Maybe not. Maybe you're traveling in October.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I'm going to be there. I have the October. Handing out some records to some 76-year-old artists.
Okay, well, thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
And you are listening to listener-supported WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM online, WPKN.org. And a little bit more music from this compilation, Puro Tecnishanti.